I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Man, I haven't been steelhead fishing in years. That would be a lot of fun. And Josh Gertz there is an expert. So it's just good to talk with him. But bringing it back in, it's tailgate season. And one of the fun things to do that you can prep ahead and bring with you is a set of ribs, right? You don't have to cook them that day. You can warm them up and just make it really good, whether it's deer camp or wherever you are. So we want to talk a little bit about ribs. Bob, prepping the ribs, if we do, I would say probably most people do baby backs, right, or spares. Those are both pork. But right. So they might have a better handle on that. But the one that is also very good are beef ribs. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the baby backs first, and then maybe if we got a minute, we can touch on beef ribs, because I think it's a different process. But how do we prep a set of baby backs?
Well, you said tailgating, right. So let's put ourselves at a tailgate and okay. Say we're going to go out and we're going to, or like your Halloween party that you're
right
not dressing up for.
Right. Oh, you don't know.
Yeah. Hope you wear something. So if I'm going to do groups like that, And like we've done this at Man Camp at the church steak thing, it's nice to take the ribs and cut them into single sections.
Yep.
Because now you're not cutting them at a table, at a tailgate, on the spot. They're already all cut up. It's nice to bring something out and just set it out and let people have at it, because they're going to be impatient.
Right.
They're going to be dying to see it.
Right.
And if you cut them in advance, you're going to have a beautiful little piece that's smoked and seasoned on all sides. Because if you're cutting them on the spot, the side you're cutting, sure, you get to see the smoke layers and everything, but you're not getting any seasoning on the side. So if you have baby backs in particular, this is the best technique for baby backs. Strip that skin off the back, use a butter knife and some paper towel, and get that membrane off the back of the rib. Why I say baby back is because baby back have this incredible chunk of meat that's up close to the loin. The top of that rib is really fat. And if you smoke it to perfection, it's fine. But if you over smoke it slightly, it's fallen off your stick.
Yeah.
And it's in your lap or on your wife's blouse or, right. You know, then you got to lick the sauce off.
Oh,
somebody's got to do it, but
you had to go there.
Right. Yeah. So the ribs, so then you're not cutting in like in a 2-bone or a 3-bone portion. You're going individual bones and you're going to smoke them cut up. So you cut them up raw and then throw them on the smoker.
Right. Cut them up, rub them, smoke them, or bake them. If you don't have a smoker, just bake them. It's okay.
Right. But the where I'm going is that this might be what we're onto here is if you don't have as much time as you'd normally like, I got to believe that these are going to cook a lot quicker than when they're on the bone, but all four sides are exposed, right?
Could be. I've never really paid attention to the timing that way. But that makes sense. What I like is just not having to try and cut them after they're cooked, because I usually destroy them.
Right.
Especially if I'm not paying attention and get them a little more done than I want to, or if I get them as done as my wife wants them to be, which is falling off the bone,
right?
Which goes against my training.
Right. I like them when there's a little tug. It stays on the bone. You can pick it up. It won't fall off. You take the bite and you tug a little bit. It still comes off the bone clean, but it didn't fall off the bone. They're just easier to eat that way, and they say, I believe, they're a little more moist. If that's the case. And that's what I'd wonder about with the individual bones, Bob, is will they stay moist for it? Again, I think it's all about just not overcooking.
Yeah, they're
them.
Just great that way. And you're going to glaze them with some sauce or something at the end. If you want to mist them with some apple juice or apple cider, it's that time of year when you can get apple cider everywhere.
Right.
And you could even make your own barbecue sauce from apples.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite barbecue sauces in the fall is an apple-based barbecue sauce.
And if you want to cheat, just go to Gordon's and buy that masterpiece base barbecue sauce. And it's just really, It's just basic barbecue sauce. It doesn't have a profile. You can take that and cook up a bunch of apples and combine the two, and then take your immersion blender and make yourself a beautiful apple barbecue sauce or anything. Memphis. Yeah.
Sobey has carries a couple different brands of already made apple barbecue sauce if you wanted those.
And it doesn't have to be apple. I made I did an event recently, and it was actually last Saturday. We had a company event, a party at one of the manager's houses, and we played beanbag all day.
Right, yeah.
And I made up a Hill Country sauce that people went crazy for.
So what is that?
Well, it's just a you know, something I pulled out of my hat. It was, I called it Hill Country. Okay. Don't tell them.
Right, yeah. Well, maybe I just did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really, literally... again, that masterpiece base is so neutral and so nice. Hill Country is going to bring you into a little bit of a poblano jalapeno side, just enough. And, you know, give it a Southwestern flair, whatever you like. But I'm just saying you can take a base sauce like that and add the stuff you like, and people will love it.
Right.
Even if you're a dodo head like me.
Yep, exactly. So... tell me the difference between baby backs and St. Louis ribs.
Well, St. Louis, of course, are the bottom of the rib. And when you buy spare ribs on sale, that's going to have that little piece of flank and belly to it, which you trim off and make a nice straight line so that the St. Louis ribs are very symmetrical. But it's the bottom of the rib. There's not a lot of meat. I happen to like them. It's one you got to be careful with because there's not as much fat either, and you can dry them out real quickly. But that, again, when you're doing a rib, when you see that bone starting to shrink and stick out like a half inch, it's time.
Right.
You've got to put it in a container, put a lid on it, and slow roll it for a little bit with some sauce or whatever you're going to do. Now, Rob and I used to do something we called a Kansas City sticky rib. And what we would do is we would melt butter on the ribs, and then we'd pour honey on it, and then we'd glaze it with a little bit of sweet barbecue sauce, and people went crazy over that. That's a Kansas City sticky.
Wow.
And the honey makes it very sticky, but the butters, I mean, it's all your favorite stuff. If you could just get some bacon on there somehow.
Well, it's close to the bacon. Natural. It's just above it, right? That bacon is on the belly, and these are the ribs right above it. So that's good stuff, man. Exactly. So I'm inspired. I think that this little Halloween party with them cut up, like you talked about, I think that's a game changer for me, because I don't have to pull apart ribs. I just pick one up and I can eat it. And I would assume they're going to be cut with one side's going to have the meat and the other side's right up against the bone.
No, I do it right down the center.
Do you?
If you don't, your meat's going to fall off.
Okay.
You got to go right perfectly between the ribs and cut them evenly. And then you'll have meat on both sides.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, okay, good. Well, that's a good tip, because I'd have done it up against the bone on one side and put all the meat on the other.
You might get away with it, but what I found is when it starts shrinking, it's pulling away from the bone, and you're only attached on three sides.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. So we know when they're done, when the bone's starting to be a little bit exposed. It's really difficult to use a thermometer on ribs. There's not a lot of meat between them, but I would still recommend a quick read thermometer. What's the temperature that I want to make sure those ribs are at, just to make sure they're done?
Never done it.
No? Nope. Haven't done it? No. I got to believe it's about 160, 165.
Yeah.
I want to make sure they're done.
The rib has its own built-in temperature probe.
Right. And what is that?
It's the bone.
Right. And you're going to see it.
When you see a half inch sticking out, you know you're there.
Okay.
And then you can, of course, any good chef, any good barbecue grilling guy is going to take one and try it. And if it's not quite ready, put it in the pan, sauce it, throw it in the oven for, you know, like 190 for an hour, half hour, and you'll be there.
Right.
Oh, I love this segment. Oh, this is my favorite segment of all the years I've been with the grilling guys.
Yeah, this is...
Ribs, I love them.
Ribs are good. Ribs are
good. Well, next week I'll bring you some.
All right, there you go.
All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to, the fall is in the air again. We're going to talk to a guy from Henry Repeating Arms. Bob and I both have Henry rifles, And you're going to want one too. Stick with us. We'll be back.